welcome to the Career Survival Show. Got a special show for you today. It's the Career Survival Show / Precious Memories Show. Today's going to be a special tribute show to my father, the late, great Gillon McGuinness. And, today we're going to be playing some special takes for you. Here's the story. Right before Dad passed away, he actually left instructions, which I didn't know of until like a couple of weeks ago, that he left instructions for 3CR to play some of his stuff from his funeral. So, yeah, we're sort of trying to do like a special tribute show, including that stuff to today. So it's going to be like a bit of a roller coaster of a show today. It's going to be a little bit of ups and downs. So prepare yourself, get a coffee if you're sticking around. And, yeah, we're going to have some yarns with some people who were very near and dear to Dad's heart. And they're going to come on the show today and have a bit of a talk. As well as some music that he loved to play. And, basically the stuff from the funeral. So, yeah, stick around. Hope you enjoy the show today. If you want to ring up and be involved and have a little yarn, your little memories of Dad, Gillon McGuinness, you can do so by calling 94198377 and we'll get you through to the on-air and have a little yarn. That number again, 94198377, if you want to contact us here and share your memories of Gillon McGuinness and his Precious Memories shows that he used to do, because a lot of people used to listen in and thought it was a great show and they basically loved the show. So I don't want to exclude you guys as well. So if you want to ring up and have a little yarn, that's fine with us. But we're going to kick it off now. We're going to go into an old classic that Dad loved to listen to and play. And it's from his old, his old father-in-law, my grandpa. And that is a song called Streets of Old Fitzroy by Harry Williams and the Country Outcasts. Listen to Career Survival Show here on 3CR.
City lights are driving me crazy as I walk the lonely streets of Old Fitzroy. How I wish that I was back there in the dream time, in the country where there's always peace and quiet. Oh, I wish that I was back in the dream time, hear the didgeridoos a-droning in the night, where the corroborees are seen by the firelight, far away from the glow of city light. Now Gertrude Street, it makes me feel so lonely, for the gum trees and the taste of porcupine. I see my brothers and my sisters here in Fitzroy, torn apart by government ways and city life. Oh, I wish that I was back in the dream time, hear the didgeridoos drawing in the night, where the strawberries are seen by the firelight, far away from the glow of city light. City lights are driving me crazy as I walk the lonely streets of Old Fitzroy. I know someday that I'll be called back to the dream time, where the white man's ways won't bother me no more. Oh, I wish that I was back in the dream time. Hear the didgeridoo a drawing in the night. Where the crobberies are steamed by the firelight, far away from the glow of city life, 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 far away from the glow of city life.
Streets of Old Fitzroy, by Uncle Harry Williams, old brother boy's father-in-law. But yeah, today is a, like I was talking to you before, Aunt Johnny, you know. I've been asked to sort of weave a narrative through the service and along with old brother boy, Joey Day, to try and verbalise not only my connection but your connection to Brother Gill. And it's because my nephew has asked me to do this. And Johnny Mack just, I went and saw him the other day and he said, Dad wanted you to do this, Uncle Kutcher. So he gets his way. Typical Gil. And the irony is that typical Gil, day before Australia Day, gets his last say. Just the way that he would want it. There's a thing that sticks in my memory, and it's a very strong family orientated memory. We're in Traralgon and we've just buried our mother, me, Mick, Reg, Alice, Arthur. I can't name all my family. But we've been to the wake at the Central Gippsland Aboriginal Cooperative, and all of Mary's children, we walk in the back door of our mother's place in Cameron Street in Traralgon. And Mum had a chair that only Mum sat in around the kitchen table. And we all walk through and the beautiful thing was that Gilla walked in the back door with all of us. And who should sit in Mum's seat but Gilla? And we all looked at each other. And it was as if he was home at his place. And that's the standing that Gilla had within our family. And that's unexplainable. You can't. But he felt as if he had the right to sit with his brothers and sisters. And that's Gil to a T. And I'm getting chills down the back of my neck as I'm talking about it. So he's sticking his finger in me side as I'm talking here. But, you know, you start the service at 11 and the place is quarter full. And you wait for 5 minutes and look how many people are in the room now. And it speaks volumes of a man, a person who has committed his life to giving other people the opportunity to speak through radio. And that's volumes of Giller. You know, his grandniece sitting here, how old, Tash? 5, and got her own radio show on 3CR because of her uncle Gil. Unbelievable. This man, I'm waffling on, but so my brother is going to lead us through the service, and I'll pop in every now and then, and Johnny will speak about his dad. And, it's beautiful to see this many people here.
First thing that I'd just like to say on behalf of John and all the family, I want to thank each and everyone for being here today. And just seeing the slideshows behind me that, you know, so many great memories and great families, and look at it, be overwhelmed. And so, you know, just saying to Doreen, the families that, you know, the McGinnis, Lovett and Smith family, but then it's the Austin family, the Norris family, and that family and that external family goes on as Fitzroy. So representative here today, and so on behalf of all those extended families, and particularly Johnny Mack, and we want to thank you for being here today. And we see that Gary was a loving son to John and Dorothy McGinnis, loving father to Johnny Mack, loving grandfather to Lyric, loving uncle, cousin and friend to many, and also a loving brother to Jed and Gary. So once again, we want to thank you today, and we'll just open with prayer and just commit this day before Almighty God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, today. Father, we can come and celebrate a life, celebrate a wonderful life with honour. We want to thank you for that life and the legacy that's impacted so many here today. And Lord, we pray today that, Father, that by your Spirit, that you would continue to bring comfort not only to the family, but all the family and each of us here today. And Lord, we thank you and always give you the honour and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Part of the service, we have a beautiful song, and it's Rest High on Dun Mountain by Vince Gill.
Gary John McGinnis Giller. Born 3rd of the 6th, 1959, entered the Dreaming, 9th of the 1st, 2018. Today we say goodbye, or farewell, to a man who can only be described as a legend, a Fitzroy legend. A man who was so many different things to so many different people, yet I think one thing we could all agree is that he was as staunch as they come. He loved his community, and if he counted you among his family and friends, you felt truly blessed, because there was nothing he wouldn't do to help you if he could. Gary was a man who always committed his time and energy 110% to any project he was working on, and there are many at that. For those who really knew Giller, knew he was a man who could make things happen from seemingly nothing. And I'm talking about all those stories we can't quite mention here today as well. From an early age, Dad always knew what he wanted and how to get it. As I'm told, he used to sneak off across the road from his place there in home in Fitzroy in Gertrude Street. He'd sneak across the road and head over to the police station there, and he would tell them he was lost, only to get the free ice cream and stuff they'd give to him every time. So that became a regular occurrence, I believe. He'd also wander along asking all the shops, Nan would tell me, asking all the shops in the area for specs, which were leftover broken lollies. And Nan would find him often down laneways and stuff, asking all these shopkeepers, and she'd track him down from shop to shop to find where he was. Dad was born to Dawn Austin, and without going into it, as a baby he was taken into care by Dorothy Lovett, who, as far as she was concerned, he was her son. And as far as Gary was concerned, Dorothy was his mother. Gary's childhood was a reasonably happy one. I'd often see the joy in his face when he'd tell me all the stories of what he used to get up to with Auntie Doreen, Auntie Deanne and Auntie Debbie, Auntie Shelley, Uncle Darren, and all the other cousins he had. But then he met all his blood, growing from his childhood into a young man. Gary met people who he called his brothers and sisters, but it was during this time he's met his brothers, he called his blood. Uncle Bindi, Uncle Duck, Uncle Lakes, Uncle Lockie, Uncle Bert, Uncle Sonny Booth, Uncle Arthur, and a few more, if I'm sorry if I can't remember yous all. And I'm sure there's a lot of stories between that lot of names too. It was one day he was sitting in the car with Uncle Bindi that he actually found out that he had sisters. And that's when he met my mother. And 4 years later, they had a son named John. That was me. Gary was so excited to have his son, he actually pushed the doctor aside to deliver me himself. And I believe he partied for a week beforehand and a week afterwards too. As a father, all I can say is he was the best. He's always patient, always caring, always understanding, always fair, but always fun. He was always surprising and supportive too in everything I did. There's many things that I can attribute to my father. The defining moment in Gary's life came when he was about 27, 28 years old. Tragedy struck as Gary was involved in a serious car accident where every bone in his body except his left leg was broken, and the doctors told him that he would never walk or talk again. But this only proved his strength and courage and determination. By not only walking and talking again, but he became an active and much loved and valued member of our community, again, which he loved so much. They were ready for him then, but it just wasn't his time yet. He still had a lot to do. Now, when I say active community member, boy, do I mean active. From bus driver at Yapra to horticulture and landscaping at Ceres, being involved in health programs at VARS, to being head of my school's council, and he was elected in that position despite never attending a single meeting. But he used that position to bring a lot of Koori events and stuff into my school, which we didn't have at the time. And that's when I used to see all the uncles coming rocking up and teaching all the didgeridoo stuff and boomerangs. And to this day, yeah, there was still a white kid who was the best boomerang thrower in the school. But anyway, yeah, he did all that. But not only all that, he was probably on just about every single board of directors of every organisation around Melbourne, just about. Yeah, he did a lot of great work in there where he was involved in the establishment of a lot of programs. A lot of organisations too, starting up at that time. I remember he was involved even in helping to get the building for Yapa and all that kind of stuff when he was the personal assistant to the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs. But he did all that, but yeah. Most of that's still going today. And with all that he achieved, he still had time to fight the good fight. And where he fought, it was always 3CR Community Radio. That was his base, his second home. His lifetime member, long-time radio personality, and a man who always asked the hard questions and tackled any problem in the community. If the cause was true and just, he'd be the first to help. 3CR was always where his heart was, and radio was his passion. Thanks to Uncle Brucey Mack, who was his mentor. Radio also gave him another opportunity where he was able to help a lot of his nephews and nieces as well. And I know they all miss him just as much as I do. There was one shining light in his life who he loved dearly, and that was his granddaughter, Lyric. She was his world. He would change jobs just to be there with you, sweetie. He worked at Yapra just to be there, be by your side. When he was out at Broadie, he worked out at Broadie TAFE just so he'd come and visit you at lunchtime. And he loved you so much. Through his journeys, Gary met and befriended a lot of people from all walks of life, some of whom I hope share their stories here today. Dad was always saying to me, as long as you stay grassroots and always about community, you can't go wrong. And Gary John McGuinness Giller was grassroots community.
He'd be proud of you.
There we go. Been a while since I've jumped on these mics, huh? So, but yeah, that was my kind of little speech for Dad for his funeral. And like you were just saying, yeah, I pretty much got most of it. Little bits here and there I left out, basically.
No, you captured it really well, bro.
I was in that mind frame, you know. I couldn't think of everything. But as you were saying, I'd like to welcome Uncle Robbie first to the Career Survival Show and
thanks,
to our special tribute show.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, huh?
It's an honour, my brother.
As you was just telling me before, you was around a lot of those stories there.
I was. Me and Gil used to run together back in the day, selling boomerangs for Uncle Johnny.
Yes, I remember all the boomerang stories.
And Gil was the master, bruv. He knew how to look after himself. You know, he was self-made, he was, you know, there was nothing that he couldn't do in his mind, you know. And he always kept surprising me, and his determination. And what really struck me about Gil is he always stuck with community. He always spoke about community. That was the source of everything for him and family. And always lived that right through his whole life. And we spent a lot of time together as young fellas in those days. It was great growing up in Fitzroy and surrounding communities back in the day.
Yep.
And we had all our elders around us, our community. And
it was kind of a day where you had to sort of
create those things for yourself, those opportunities. As yeah, I recall, Dad used to say, there was, if you didn't, then you're kind of, you're left out on the street. And,
you're left behind.
Yes.
Because it was tough, you know, and that's what did happen back in Fitzroy. It was, you know, like a ghetto back in the day, and that's where our people were accepted, in the ghetto areas of the city. And we made something out of that place and created the health service. We created things for ourselves, in spite of the government's obligations to our welfare and things. We did it ourselves, and Gil was very much a part of the growth of that, like myself, growing up with the organisations. And Gil was very much a part of the health service. Yeah. And carried those principles of community and community control and self-determination right through his life. And I pay my respects to my brother. And we had a lot of good times together with broadcasting stuff. You know. He was much loved right around the country. He had a knack.
It didn't matter where we went, I noticed, he always knew someone in that area where we could go and stay. And get
he always had a couch to sleep on, didn't he? And they always looked forward to having Giller in their company. And now that's, I'm talking about remote areas in the country, rural areas and city areas. He was loved by a lot of people around the country, Aboriginal people, for his work in broadcasting and, you know, kept that charity going and kept us linked to this organisation here for ACR for... him basically alone did that. Yeah. And I'm so appreciative of that. It's hard to get a voice in the best of times. 3CR has been a great supporter of us, and I'm sure Gil would agree with that.
I remember a lot of projects that he worked on too when he was at Aboriginal Affairs. Like, he wouldn't go into detail because I was only like a 13, 14-year-old kid at the time, but he'd be letting me know, oh, we're looking at this building, we're looking at that building and stuff, you know, we're trying to get this building for this organisation so they can get this program up and running and this and that, you know. And there was always a lot of stuff that I thought was quite important to the community sort of thing, but he was always behind the scenes and stuff. And that's something that I always admired about my dad.
He was a very capable guy, no matter who he was. I remember he used to work for Centrelink one time.
Yeah,
anyway, I won't mention that.
Ah,
he looked after the Bob, I tell you.
Yeah, I bet
it wasn't the tough times that we've got to go through now. Like, but he understood the issues of our people.
Yeah.
And he pioneered a lot. He broke a lot of the way people think about us down in those organisations.
Yeah.
State bodies as well, including Centrelink and the likes. And the judiciary, his work in the jails.
Yeah.
And he was loved by all the wardens around the joint.
Judges and lawyers who respect his name greatly. As soon as they see his name on a piece of paper, that holds a lot of weight, you know what I mean?
It does, yes, that's so true.
Yeah.
And tribute to Giller for all his hard work, and a lot of it was, you know, he was largely unpaid.
Yeah.
You know, Giller was, like you said, he had serious issues, health issues, and well, you didn't hear about that. He carried all that with him.
Well, he always felt rich because of just everybody that he had behind him, sort of thing, that he could turn to whenever he needed to. And yeah, I think his wealth came in the form of people rather than money.
No, he definitely
loved
makes
his money. Don't get me wrong about that.
Yeah, no, he knew how to look after himself. Yeah. He was a great example of how to do that and take advantage of what's out there for people. He knew all the what was there too and what you were entitled to, and he's a great spokesman around that. So he definitely makes the top 60 black and deadly, Russ. Definitely, there's no
I
doubt about
a lot
that.
A times you've worked for, like, some of the organisations, and someone would ring up, oh, I can't get this done, that done. Bang. By that afternoon, he'd have it all sorted for him, you know?
Yes.
He'd make sure, because that's what he was there for, that's what he was all about, was his community.
And he had those connections with the right people in, you know, the
And like
elders.
Yourself, he wasn't afraid to jump on the radio and tell them when they were doing wrong, too.
That's right,
you know?
Yeah. No, I really appreciate Giller's time and... my time with him, I spent a lot of time with Giller, from the Bacchus Lion, the Bacchus Marsh Lion Park dancing days. Should ask the old fellows about that, Johnny. And
he used to tell me some of the old stories with you there and that.
Never without money.
Yep.
Never. Oh, he was rich.
Yeah.
We was all poor. Giller's always had a quid in his pocket.
Yeah, he always had a quid from somewhere. He was good for that one.
He was. We'll miss him here too, you know. He's part of the furniture here for ECR. And it's great to see you stepping up into his shoes there, Johnny. So another 40 years in the making
I'm
now.
I'm trying. I've already been in for, about 20 years already myself.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Which isn't too bad for my age and stuff, but yeah.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I've been working it out. I've been here since I was like about 16 and I'm 38 now. So, yeah, that's like 22 years.
And that's, you know, your dad was a lot responsible for that, leading, creating that little pathway.
I still remember
him.
The first day when
he was pushing the microphone onto
you. On the mic, and I was like 16 years old, and he's like, "Oh, just play this next song for me, son. I just need to go to the toilet." And he didn't come back at all. I did the rest of the show. That's how I learnt to do radio.
Yeah, that's deadly. And he created a lot of opportunities for a lot of other mob too, like that as well. You know?
I remember the old days too when I was younger, when he was doing the radio show in that little room in Crewe College there, and they had all the egg cartons on the wall and stuff, you know. That was some good old days because all the uncles would be in there. And
yeah, it was mad stuff. It was great old days.
And all us kids running around Crewe College, driving yous all nuts. And
yeah, my kids were hanging around at that time.
Yeah,
Rob and Lise.
Robbie and Lise was with me. They were culprits with me.
And we had a Crewe Information Centre and at the time. And Gil was always up there because, you know, we had it together back in the day. You know, our dreams were big then. Anyway,
thanks for coming in.
It's a pleasure, man. I'm really glad I got the opportunity to do that.
I appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody out there appreciates it, and Dad would appreciate it.
Yeah, and all my love and respect to Gillis family and many friends out there.
Just before you go, just give me a little refresher course here. I want to put the phone on. That's the auxiliary, is it? Or is that?
No, let me help you there.
Yeah. So, that was Uncle Robbie Thorpe coming in to have a yarn. He's going to help me out. We're going to get, we've got Tash Norris lined up online. Yep, on line four, ready to go. So we're going to get her through. Are you there, Tash?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Woohoo, we did
awesome.
It.
Awesome, yay.
Press the button.
Thanks for that, Uncle
Rob. Hi, Tash.
Hey.
And you have a bit of history with Daddy Mac, and it's a lot to do with radio. So is your daughter, little Bella?
Yeah, Big Boss Bella, she's known in there.
Yeah, she's known as Big Boss Bella in here, because basically when she come in, she'd take over, I imagine.
Yeah, she does. She, you know, she's the boss in there. She tells everyone what to do. She ran the show, so
little big shot.
Yeah. Yeah, and she loves coming to the meetings and stuff and putting her little two-bob in and, you know, put her hands up for votes and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, she was one of those people everybody looked forward to in here, I think.
Yeah,
couldn't
wait
for her to come in.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you wanted to share a couple of memory of Dad? Anything?
Yeah, I do. Actually, the other day, I don't know who I was speaking to, but I just came out and said, you know what I miss? I miss Uncle Gillard just ringing me out of the blue. He was either complaining about somebody or just, you know, to have it, you know, have a go at me for not doing something that I was supposed to do, probably. Yeah, but I miss that.
That's one of the main things. I think you used to just get up in the morning and ring everybody.
Yeah.
Because everybody says, I miss his early morning rings because he'd be way up before I would be awake.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I guess that's what he used to be doing when he was up, was calling everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, though I do remember that when you two had a little, you know, little blue, that he'd ring me. And he'd take it out on me. So thanks for that, bruv.
No worries. I'm happy to help, sis.
Bella's been on my case to come back in and do the show, so...
Oh, deadly.
Yeah, so hopefully I can get back in that way soon, and we're going to have another...
So she's definitely got the radio bug.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. There's no getting out of it.
That's
now.
When you know. It's like all good when they're doing it, but when they start missing it when they're not doing it, that's when you know they've got the bug.
Yeah, like she's been hassling me bad, so I'm like, all right then. But it's sort of been hard for me to come in there because that's my memory of Uncle Gil. That's him to a T, so. But, yeah, you know, if you can do it, Braz, I can, I suppose.
Yeah, it's sort of, it was a bit hard at first coming in sort of thing, just all the memories in the different rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Sort of gets to you. Yeah. But after a while you start cherishing them rather than being sad for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been good. And everybody here at 3CR has been awesome as well. They've always, you know,
they always have
helped
been.
Me out if I need it and tell me to take off if I'm trying to do stuff that I know I can't because I'm feeling down and stuff.
Yeah, they're like our family.
That's it.
Yeah, as soon as you walk in the door, that's what you feel. It's all family. It just feels like a family, big family.
Yeah.
I love it there. But, yeah, we're going to have a new broadcaster. It'll be my son, Vinny. So he's Sweet. Only 8 months old, so he's just learning to talk, so he can be learning to talk on radio.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the kids with attitude coming back.
Yes, it
with
is.
More kids and more attitude.
Way more attitude. Oh, my God.
Definitely says. Yeah.
All right, bros. All right.
Thanks for your call.
No worries.
And we can't wait to hear you back on air with the kids.
I can't wait to be there, actually.
Sweet as.
All right. All right. Love you, bros. Love you.
And that was the Cuzzo, Tash Norris, who also had a show on here called Kids with Attitude with her daughter, Big Boss Bella. And she's going to be back, hopefully, within the year and bring in a new co-host as well, little Vinny, who's the new addition to the family. So, yeah, good luck with all that, Cuz, and hope to see you here soon. We're going to go into some more of Gilla's funeral audio at the moment. That's what we're calling it for now. Basically, we're going to be playing bits of that, and we're going to line up some more people to come in and have a yarn. But stay tuned. This is the Crew Survival Show here on 3CR.
Not he would, I know he is, and he still is, because his spirit is here. And now come the yarns. But we got to remember that we've got to get him out to Waroona at before 6 o'clock tonight. Because the gate closes at 6. Honey George is sitting there. But, and firstly, close family and, well, we're all connected to our brother boy, you know.
The first thing I'd like to say to John, I admire him for his strength that he's shown towards his father over these very hard time, not just a month or whatever, quite a while now. And his patience, and many a time I'm sure he'd like to throw him up in the air, but his strength and his patience was just been absolutely miraculous. So thank you, John. Gary's always been very special to me because he's the first of our, well, the grandchild, the nephew in the family, and then come Doreen, and all they did was fight most of their life. They were both on a par too. But he just grew up, and the more he grew and grew, he just got such a lot of wisdom from all the people that he met, and he just seemed to had an enjoyment of knowing so many people and talking to them and getting to know them better, you know. And that was a gift that you can't get. You have that already develop and have from a very early age. And he gained that, and his wisdom helped elders as who were supposed to be helping younger ones, you know. So, and the joy of his life was his son John and Lyric, what he bought. And I love my nephew very much, and there's not much more I could say. Thank you.
And yeah, that was Auntie Georgina there. And you're Mike One. We've got a special guest in the studio with us, Uncle Kutch. Here, live in flesh. How you doing, Uncles?
I'm okay. I was got the phone call this morning and
yeah. Sorry about that bit.
No. That's all good, Unc. You know, anything to have the opportunity to remember and yarn about your dad and, yeah, like we had that situation. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it because it's still not to be put into the public, but we did something
about names, I guess.
yeah. We did something in studio. What's this one here? This is one, isn't it? Studio one.
I believe so. It is for now.
Yeah, and we were in Studio 3, and we were doing something, and then all of a sudden, it was like his spirit walked into the room. Eh?
Yeah.
It was weird. Not weird in a sense that ooga booga, but it was, you could sense that he was here.
It felt like he was there because, I think we started feeling too sad, so he came along and just, I just got this sudden burst of, like, you know, happiness in the room.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the way that Gil was, you know what I mean? He'd come in, he'd listen to the conversation that's already been had, and even though he was listening to the conversation, he couldn't sit there and say, if he didn't agree, he couldn't sit there and say, I agree.
Yeah.
He'd have to verbalise what was in his spirit, and he'd say, "No, you know what? I disagree." And that's the way he was, you know.
Yeah.
But he was also, for people who know me, I've got older brothers that are sort of, I still to this day look up to, and I don't challenge them because they're my older brothers.
Yeah.
That's the way that they're thinking. But old brother boy, he'd challenge him. He'd say, "Get me," you know, and he'd disagree.
Yeah.
And they didn't like that. And that's not a criticism against my brothers. That's just the way your father was, you know.
He did that with anybody that he didn't agree with, sort of.
That's
thing.
Right.
He wouldn't just tell you he disagreed. He'd tell you the reasons why.
Yeah. And explain it and say, well, you know.
Yeah.
But he was a funny man too. You know, and they, you know,
a lot of people didn't see that side because they just saw the straight out staunch fella that coming straight out all the time, you know.
Yeah.
But if you got to know Dad, he did have this wicked sort of funny side too.
But even like, I don't know what, I can't remember what you played just before, you know, after, I think it was after we'd buried, it was either Wally, my brother Wally or my mum, at Traralgon Cemetery, and we all went back to, I think it was Mum's funeral, and we all went back to Mum's house in 55 Cameron Street in Traralgon, and we all walked through the back door, and for people who know my family directly and know we're a very, in a sense, closed shop. We're very protective because we've been dispersed, but we're very protective of who we let into our inner circle.
Yeah.
And your dad was one of those people who was let in.
Yeah.
And we all walked through the back door of Mum's house. And Mum had a certain chair that was hers, and nobody sat in it. And it had a kangaroo skin that was placed, and she'd always sit in this chair. And we opened the back door, and we all sort of looked at the she had a hexagon table, and Mum's chair was always at this certain place. And your dad walked straight over and sat in it, and all the brothers and sisters sort of looked at each other, and we sort of thought, wow. But he felt that he was part of our family.
Yeah.
And so did we. And so we just sort of, nah, he's right. He's our brother, you know.
Yeah.
And so that sits in my spirit, you know, not in my memory.
Kind of like that. Once he was part of the family,
he was in there.
He'd act just like part of the family.
yeah. And he felt that he didn't feel displaced in that regard because Yeah, because he didn't separate us. Yeah. We were all his brothers, you know, and sisters. Yeah. And that's a special trait that certain people have. And that's the way that us as black fellas are too.
Yeah.
But we're very protective of our own. And but your father was our brother, still is, even though he's physically not here. He will always be a part of the inner sanctum of the Edwards family, and so will you, Unc, you know, and so will Lyric, and so on and so on. But he was, you know, in remembering your father for his work, you know, 17 years of Beyond the Bars, but how many years before that at 3CR is phenomenal, you know. I think he's one of the longest serving.
Even before 3CR, he was doing his little show at Crewe College there.
I think
that was called the Crewe Survival Show too. I'm not too sure. But yeah, that was when he had Uncle Lakes in there and Uncle Dash and.
Well, people don't know that he was the person who first recorded, and Uncle Archie explains this.
Yeah.
That if it wasn't for Gil, Archie probably would not be where he is, you know.
And if you ever met my dad and he knew him a lot of years, he probably wouldn't have even told you that, you know.
No.
He'd let you find that out
yourself. Was spoken.
That he didn't really go around and big name.
Well, Archie explained that at your father's service, and people were like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Really? Well, that's fact. It's not fiction.
That's just, that shows a picture to his character. He was there for, if he was there for you, he was there for you.
Yeah.
He wasn't in it for himself.
Have we got any, if somebody at the front, has anybody, Leanne or Juliet or Loretta up the front, actually some of those recordings, if we can find them, recordings of when Giller first recorded Archie, probably in this same room, actually.
I remember the story. Yeah, I remember him saying he went up to the park
to the
there
park.
And
yeah.
He said, come and record some songs. And Uncle Archie was like, oh, no.
I'm a bit.
And Dad said, it's all right. Bring your drinks with you and that.
Let's go.
The rest is history.
I think we got a caller. Have we got someone on the line here?
We've got Auntie Doreen Lover, who grew up with Dad and has a lot of fun memories herself. Are you there, Aunt?
Hey, hello there.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah. Soldier on.
Thank you for calling into the show today and being a part of the show.
Oh, wouldn't miss it, Johnny. Wouldn't miss it, bub. Thank you for calling me to let me know.
What do you think about some of the stories we've been talking about so far?
He was a character.
Yeah.
And with Gillard, there was always a story, you know.
True.
Well, I'm not ashamed of my age, and I'll say I'm 59 this year, but he was a part of my life all my life.
Yeah.
Other than our elders, I think I've known him the longest, and surely miss him. It's been a hard year.
Yes.
And I was trying to think of a story to tell, and I had to tell the story with a laugh. and it was the boomerang selling days.
Yep.
And as kids, we were rich kids.
Yeah.
We were rich kids, and even the Gubba kids, the white kids, would come and sell boomerangs, for pocket money or to take money home to put on the table. But Uncle Johnny had a policy, and it was about us girls, Giller and Darren, we weren't allowed to do pubs and car yards. But we used to go into the car yards because it was always a good selling day in the car yard.
Yeah.
And the pubs we kept out of. But Uncle Johnny had a policy about skipping shops and skipping houses. You weren't allowed to skip a shop and you weren't allowed to skip a house. And at the end of the day when we sold our boomerangs or we've come back with some, and he said, oh, you've come back with some, not a good day. And Gary used to sing the song, yep, skip the shop, door ring, and whoever skipped the shop.
and
that's how Uncle John found out we weren't doing our artists. But He was a character. Even with radio, you know, even before we had cassettes back in the day.
Yep.
And when he was like 12, 13, 14 or something like that, he used to connect stereos up with each other where they could tape a tape.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, he used to love tape and stuff, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And that was before taping tapes was even invented.
You know what? I still got a whole lot of cassette tapes, a whole lot of VHS tapes, just of all this recorded stuff that he used to just record, and got it all sitting there archived.
Yeah. Big loss to us all, but, you know, what a wonderful tribute he has left behind, you know, and his memory will live on in us all and in the community. And he just done such a wonderful job with you, Johnny Mac.
That he did. Yeah, I think the funniest story of all is actually, well, this story. He gave 3CR instructions to play his funeral a year later off on the air. who does that, you know? Even from the grave, he's given orders. It's like,
you know, when I heard you say that earlier, I said to myself, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. But really sadly missed, you know, really, really sadly missed. I loved him so. Yeah.
And we just had Auntie Georgina walk into the studios here, if you want to say hello to Mark.
Oh, right, yes.
Hi, sweetheart.
Oh, hello, Auntie Georgina.
Just listening to your tales, I could have heard more, though.
I'll tell you all when we catch up. I'll tell you some other ones when we catch up. I won't tell everyone else.
When we've got to two days.
Yeah, we're getting together on survival day.
Just making a two-day special this show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that,
I'll leave you. Bye.
Okay, then. And God bless and have a good day, Johnny Mac. And
you too, Art. Love you.
Love you all. Bye.
Bye. So that was Auntie Doreen online there, sharing one of her stories, and glad she could make it onto the show today. And, thank you for coming in too, Auntie Georgina.
Oh, that's fine.
So today, we're just yarning about different little memories of Dad, and if you wanted to share a little memory, it doesn't have to be that long.
No, I didn't realise it's been a whole year, you know.
Yeah,
it's taken a long time for it to to really go fill in, you know, because I've known him since he was born. And every morning I'd get up and I'm an early riser and he was an early riser. And I'd always sit out the front having a cup of tea and 10,000 smokes. And he'd always ring me then because he knew I was on my own sitting out the front, no one's around. So I missed that, and we'd have a great conversation and about a million half things, you know. and especially when he wasn't well, so he was enjoying that as well because it's so easy that he knew that I knew him from the time he was landed at the doorstep of Auntie Dots, his mother, you know. And so I watched him grow from the word go and go through all the male shiftiness and moves. And they had more moves than rattlesnakes.
Sounds like they started young too, eh?
Well, they taught each other, you know. Yeah. The girls done the same thing, so I'm not having to go with the boys, just the boys. Yeah. It was life.
Oh, I've heard the stories about the girls too.
yeah, that's right. So, you know, but they'd always behave in front of women, you know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be letting them know their stories and what was going on, you know. And we understood that's quite normal, you know.
Yeah.
Besides, he didn't want his honey dot, his grandmother knowing too much, or his mother knowing too much. I was thinking of John then.
The only person I've seen make him run, really.
Oh, God. She could run Cassie's clay around the corner. She's only about 2 inches wide, but it didn't matter.
She had this look that, everybody was scared of. Just going on about Dad in his younger days, I was telling the story about how Nan used to tell me he used to go taking off all the time to the shopkeepers looking for, like, specs and broken chocolates and stuff like that, and
get around at a police officer and tell him he's lost so they give him an ice cream or something, you know.
He did. He had more moves than a rattlesnake. But like when he was first born and come home and that, he was the cutest thing you'd ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, and little and cute, so he sort of got spoiled by Hola Fitzroy and Collingwood and Carlton, you know, wherever it happened to be. Because I used to take him for a walk with me every, when he was only a baby, you know, young, and put him in the pusher, of course.
Yeah.
And your man Donnie used to always say, "And don't be too long, Georgina. I know you." I said, "I won't be more than half an hour, three quarters at the most." She said, "Okay." And then she said, "No, I can have a little three quarter of hour." And of course, an hour and a half ago, I'd do hours.
Where are
these two? Well, I'd go shopping. We'd go everywhere. And of course, everybody wanted to stop. You know, I'd call him, call him the pubs. I wasn't drinking or anything, but everybody say, "Bring Gary in so we can say hello," you know. And so Gary got introduced to everybody again and again and again. So by the time I'd done the whole block, we lived in Fitzroy, I used to walk all the way around Smith Street, right up to Gerd Street, then back down this way. That'd take you 2.5 hours, the time everybody talked to you.
Yeah, big round trip.
Yeah. So he had he was just growing up, having a view of everything, you know, and everybody knew who he was and where he was. And,
he was always a Fitzroy boy.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. And he grew up into it, and he had, he knew more people than and presidents.
Yeah. So I like to always tell everybody, like his last breath, he was actually sitting up on his bed and he was just looking out the window over Fitzroy, like, and it was sort of even though it was sad, it was a beautiful scene sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Beautiful ending sort of thing, I like to call it.
Yes, I know what you're talking about when he was at the hospital, because
you could see all over Fitzroy and all his little haunts that he used to run around in and that. And
that's right, yeah, straight down Brunswick Street.
Straight from where he was, from where I used to live with him in the flats, and yeah, it was just...
Yes, I don't remember talking to him about that.
It was a beautiful sort of sending off for him, his last little scenery. Come in. We've got Uncle Bo here too.
Yeah, he was parking the car.
I wonder if there's anybody out there who played footy with your dad.
Yeah, he had a football career. I didn't...
I see photos. I see photos.
He told me a little bit about it, but then he also told me he was mainly the runner.
Okay.
He said he played a bit of footy, but he was mainly the runner, and he'd go out there and give everybody the messages out on the field, he reckons. And he was happy with that, he said.
So are there any Fitzroy stars out there that played alongside your father?
Yeah, I'd love to know what he was like in an actual match. And,
yeah.
Because he always knowing
Gil, he'd probably run out there just to start a fight.
He didn't miss a game. Yeah.
He was at every game, that was for sure.
Yeah, he didn't miss
him and Uncle Duck. the stand, what did they give him? Duck, they gave him a coaching award for actually being up in the stands coaching.
Yeah.
Uncle Duck, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember every time I used to play footy, he'd be straight onto me, like, after the game.
Coaching from the sidelines.
Not only coaching, but he'd say to me every time, like, "You know you get your skills from me, right?" But he always had this deal, because I was always full back, so he'd say, "Every tackle you do, I want you to do it into, I want you to tackle them into the ground, and if you get it, tackle them into the ground, I'll shout you, you know, something at Macca's." So I made sure I'd get like 4 or 5 tackles a game, and then everybody else on the team heard our deal and tried to get the deal, same deal with their dads and that, and wouldn't do it. So Dad would say, "Look, if you win a game, I'll take yous all to Macca's," you know. So we'd be all out there trying our hardest to win these matches, eh? And I'm sure it improved it, because we went to Macca's a few times, and he was true to his word. He shouted us all Macca's.
you're pretty good at that, John. I remember seeing you.
Yeah, wasn't too bad as a young fella.
Yeah, you should have kept it up.
I think the Macca's got to me.
Yeah, right. It slowed you down.
So we got Loretta in the next studio. She's sending messages over the... There's a number you can text to send messages any messages, 0488 809 855 for anybody who who doesn't want to speak live, they can send.
We can read out the message for them.
They could send in a text and you know, even in talking now, Johnny Mac, you've got two mobiles, and people are calling you direct on your mobile, and like his hair. Listeners, Johnny Mac's hands are full doing this show. So if you're listening in, he's actually doing a tribute show to his father. And rather than calling him, let him.
If you want to call into the station on 94198377, that number again, 94198377. If you want to talk on air, otherwise, the number that Uncle Kutch just mentioned before, you can send a text and we can read it out to you. I'm just not answering personal calls on the mobile at the moment because I'm a bit busy.
You're a bit like Barack Obama at the moment, aren't you? You're answering calls left. You need your own personal assistant.
Chrissy's in shock because I'm normally laid back, so just no speakers and just music.
Oh, your father would be saying, "No, hang on, why didn't you fit in 2 days?"
Yeah, Giller would be asking, "Son, there were that many calls. This show should be 4 hours, not 2." But yeah,
you should be singing a song about me.
You got any memories, Bo? Of the old brother?
I'm sure there's a few memories. He used to tell me all the memories of when you first came to town, and
I was in the doing the the video down at Koori College. That was when I first met your dad. Yeah, so. I was barefoot and dready and bearded. And
I remember those days, Bo, and there was Fitzroy All Blacks.
That's him,
And you've had a rugby team, and I think you've won a grand final over at the Junction Oval. That was about 1985 or 84, 85. And you played in
Sam Yowrie.
Yeah, you played in Fitzroy All Blacks, and then I think it was a week later Redfern came down.
Oh yeah, it's good catching with all the boys from Redfern and Donnelly's and that.
But those were the days, you know, and so I remember way back when you were at Koori College as well with Tom Pomotrovsky. With Wayne Thorpe, too.
Yeah. Wayne, he was into the video as well, and there. And that was nice times because everybody just buzzed on each other. Eh? We all got together and had the builders going there playing pool. Well,
Shelley was doing Koori College then too, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Did she do it in 84 or...?
She was... 84, yeah, Tom, 84.
Oh, Jesus.
That'd be about right.
83.
Must have been 83. Must have been about that time.
Yeah. 83, 84, that was funny. It's a bit of a famous story. I end up down here through Glenda Thorpe.
Mm-hmm.
Answered the phone at Kick.
Koori information.
Remember Kick? They turn around and she answered the phone, and I was in Gladstone, Queensland, and when she passed the phone to Shelley said, come on over, because it was CES. Remember the old CES? Employment mob. Well, she said, you got a job, do a video in Melbourne. Fine. She thought I was in Gladstone Park. And then met up with Duck and everybody and Gary and Giller and everybody was welcome. Mum, she said Deadly was to catch up with and meet up and Auntie Dot, and it was... I think it was we were so much more communicating with each other on a community level back then. All the families would get together, especially at the Builders or the Royal or something, Stupid Champion or something.
Events seemed a lot more packed back in the day.
They could get rowdy, but most of the time it was just fun, really. Everybody was having their little groups together, and all the troublemakers were usually you know.
They were told to get out.
Exactly, exiled.
by about 500 voices.
Yeah. Yeah, so remember all those old stories of the old builders and squizzies and all that? And I remember just as a kid, just be on the way home from school, because we used to go to Collingwood Primary, which was across the road from Currie College there. And we'd do order rounds, go through all these pubs.
Yeah,
and
Eugenia and...
And all the uncles and aunties would be in there, and as soon as we'd go in one door, come out the other door, and when we got out the other door, we'd all be sitting there with, like, $5 in change each, and that would be all our snacks and video games and stuff that we'd play, and, yeah, that was
Gary nice. Was good at that. Yeah. He always managed to never go without an ice cream or a pie or whatever.
And was anybody required. Knows me, they all know I'm one of the biggest gamer heads going, and even back in the day, I knew where all the pinball machines were around Fitzroy. So what I didn't know, though, because I used to go around to them all, play them all and that, I didn't know that Dad and Uncle Sonny had been to them all and told him, if you ever see this kid here, look after him, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd spin out wondering why I'd give him a dollar and they'd give me like $2-3 in change. Just, they were just trying to keep me there to look after me, you know, and play the video games.
So we have a special guest online, a very special guest, actually.
Yes, we do. All the way from Sydney, we have Auntie Jenny Munro. Are you there, Aunt?
Yes, Nev, how are you?
I'm good, Aunt. How are you?
I'm well. A bit hot. I'm in Cowra at the moment.
Oh, in Cowra.
There you go, Jen.
That's where my other family, the other side of my family, old Williams is.
Yep. On God's country.
Yeah, that's our country. So how are you doing in this hot weather, aren't it? It's hot down here too.
I'm sweating.
Thank you for joining the show for Dad's tribute show today. Did you want to share any memories?
Oh, I don't know if I can, the illegal one.
I think we're all trying to bite our tongue with that.
A lot of good times, a lot of yarns that went over... Many billions, shall we say.
Basically, for the listeners at home, any time me and Dad, we went to Sydney to do anything, whether it was just for holidays or for radio or for other work-related stuff, we'd always stay at Auntie Jenny's, and she'd always have... Look, we have a granny flat at the back of our house. She had a double-story granny flat at the back of hers.
They come in real handy, them granny flats, eh?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, I was always impressed with your one being double story. Like, I almost wanted to move up there one time.
Up the stairs, Dom. I think you and Raymond actually talked about it. Didn't
yeah, right.
What did you do in the flat?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there were a lot of good memories with your father.
So we're just...
Good times, both up here and down there in Detroit.
So Jen Kutcher here. So why is it important as to what Gilla done collectively and communally? Why is it important to tell these yarns?
Well, I think they were the vanguard of a movement of people that were had the courage of their commitments. I think, very brave souls that just stood up there and did what had to be done at a time when, this country's always been racist since the master race got here. And having people that would stand up and fight that injustice, I think that was the real highlight for me, for people like Gilla. I mean, the years that he spent there on community radio when there weren't very many black voices on the air anywhere, let alone the number of stations that we have today and the number of Aboriginal, programs and community announcers and that. I mean, he led the vanguard for all of that for our people right across the country, I think, and that's, I think what I used down there at the eulogy, he was he wasn't a very big man, but his shadow was a very, cast a very long shadow because of what he did.
Mm.
And I think people need to remember that. You know, we've got conservative blacks that have come in over and on top of those more radical blacks of a generation before, and they've turned those community-based organisations into something that actually don't work for our people anymore. So that's where, you know, the bravery of people like Gilla really needs to be highlighted for all of us.
Yeah. Jen, it's Bowie. How are you going?
Good. How are you?
Yeah. Just saying how he opened doors and helped a lot of these young fellas and young boys and girls to think that they can achieve things. And
yeah,
I mean, we're always so proud of John, the way he's carried the torch after his father passed, and it's good being that the family tradition keeps going on with a lot of the ones that started. You know, like our families were involved all over the place to try and do things for the community.
Yeah, well, I think we were motivated by something completely different back then. You know, it was the level of injustice that our people had to endure. You know, people are motivated today by things like money and.
that was funny. I remember when there'd be a little fella kicking up dust there at Cloncurry or in Western Queensland, and you know, you'd get old gubbars that spit at you or try and hit you with sticks and they're walking sticks or something, and people don't... It's not that long ago. I mean, I'm 61 now, but you think of that in history's time, you know, 500, 1,000 years or something, that's nothing, you know.
You'd think we'd done enough in our generation or even the generation before, the leaders of the 30s, you know, Cooper and Patton and Ferguson and them to quell that racism in Australia, but we've never, ever been able to defeat it, and that's the problem. The racism that came with them is embedded in everything.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that they did that to the Irish as well, they treated them.
If you want to look at evil people, look at what they did to that and still do to their own kids. And then, you know, got the cheek to tell us that we're bad parents.
That's that saying, Jen, you know, and it repeats so many in different ways. Bad things happen when good people sit in silence. And Gilla.
We could always count on with Gilla. He never stayed silent.
No, and it might mean much in years to come. But if we don't have people like Gil who wouldn't sit quietly, you know, we're verbalising a thing that sometimes in English, what our spirit is. And sometimes English doesn't explain that.
No, it doesn't. The language is not varied enough to be able to put it into the words.
But Gilla had this spirit that walked with him, and that's all his ancestors that he descends from. And you have it too, Johnny Mac, you know what I mean?
The mantle was prepared for John a long time ago, you know. His father did that as part of his work.
Yeah. I remember him always trying to steer me towards all this stuff, and I've always tried my best to resist it, kind of thing, as you do as a young person, you know. You don't want to.
And then you fall into it. It's the most natural thing in the world, you know.
But that's what's so beautiful about our communities is Johnny Mac, your parents, your mum and your dad didn't only rear you. Your community did. And there's a difference there. Yeah. And your father and mother let us do that.
Yeah.
And that's why you're a special individual, you know.
He's a walking, you know, they were walking embodiments of our principles.
That's right. Yeah, that's a beautiful way of explaining it, you know.
And that's the necessity of keeping them, their message and their memory alive, because they embodied our principles. And articulated it the way they did.
But being older, you know, and living in that time, we like to not argue in front of kids.
Yeah.
That was just sort of an unwritten rule, you know. And you don't tell kids the sad things of life.
Yeah.
You just tell them the good things of life, because we know now, and you know yourselves. As you get older, plenty of bad things happen. you just need to keep steer away from it a bit, because we can't change it from happening. But go on with the good things, because we can't live with bad things all the time. Nobody can. And we was all aware of that. So we had a good understanding to help kids in that area, and then they grew up like yourselves to help.
Yeah, well, I think what we did with our kids was, I didn't really cotton on until Lorna articulated probably about 6 or 7 years ago, maybe a bit longer now, I'm forgetting time. But they grew up with politics served up for breakfast, dinner and supper. I mean, Johnny Mac's exactly the same. Gilla did that to him too. So they know politics intimately because of that vast teaching that they got from around the kitchen table.
And good manners to go with it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd let rip in front of my kids, I'm sorry, but if someone was being nasty to them or to me, they got told straight up. And I'm sure there's a lot of women and a few men that would regret saying the wrong thing in front of me.
Oh, yes, I know. I think you and I are on the same path.
I remember that I had good teachers. That's what you had to do when you had to face idiots like that, you know.
Well, when Aunt says, like, raised by the community, that's true to form too. We was raised by the community because if we stood out of line, those uncles and aunties, they were given permission to, you know, give us a little smack on the mum if we were mucking up.
Imagine us, the mission kids, we got 3 or 4
riding between
you. You run into whatever auntie or uncle, you got another one, you got home, and then they remind you later with another clip. you certainly got discipline.
Yeah, they always found out, eh?
Yeah. I commend, you, Johnny Mac, your father, and the community down there. And I think that's one of the things that really shines for me, the strength of the community down there in Melbourne. I never want to see us lose that,
Yeah, I've always found this community just a loving community, a very, very strong, articulate, welcoming place.
And very powerful too with it, you know, and has learned how to be humble with that.
I think I've always said it, that the health service down here is the best one I've been to. I've never seen a health service like it. You go in there, and no matter where you're from or who you are, if you haven't been barred for mucking up. But, you know, that happens everywhere.
Well, I think they've resisted that control from other agents. They still basically are controlled by the community that created them. And sadly, with a lot of other organisations, that's not the case anymore, you know.
People that
created the organisations are no longer involved with them because of other conservative blacks and their agendas. But Melbourne, I think, have maintained that connection through, and that's one of its strengths.
Yeah, the government always trying to exercise some control, dangle that carrot.
That Roman rule, you know, divide and conquer.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. And little short knives in the back, and people follow along and let them, we need that, so if this fella won't take it, get somebody else to take it.
I can take the spears and arrows from the white people. The ones that hurt are the ones that come from our own mob, I think, and that's what...
Yeah, it's always sneaky ones, so.
that's what destroys you, you know, when you've tried to live your life with principles and people come along and tell a whole lot of lies about you not being principled.
Well, the ACSIC was a thing that, you know, in principle it could have been a good thing because we had control over... what the funding was.
Anything that comes from our mob is more relevant because it comes from the lived experience, you know?
Yeah.
That's why ATSIC was always a better option than NAC. I mean, they were all about, you know, empowering our people and self-determination, but we still haven't got to a point in this country where Aboriginal people are freely able to exercise our self-determination, so. You know, we've got governments, you've got everybody that works against us to try and stop that. You know, we say we're sovereign, They say, no, their rule of law is the law of the land. They are wrong in law and they're wrong in practice, but they don't exercise that law against themselves that way. Mm. You know, it's a system based on white privilege, and that's what's wrong with it. That's why it's broken. That's why it needs to be fixed.
Yeah, and that's where the media is so important.
But they play their role too, you know.
Yeah,
give me a baseball bat in 5 minutes with Rupert.
Yeah,
that's
why
we have our shows too.
We certainly changed the headlines.
Mm-hmm. Sat in our tents and walked our marches. Forget our cold it was at the embassy on Capitol Hill.
look at how this government have now decided that they would disseminate the argument about Invasion Day. They've lost the battle, and now, you know, the Prime Minister is going to scold people if we don't have a good time on their Invasion Day. Well, I'll tell them now, you know. It's never been a good day for me, and I continue to protest and, you know, scream and shout that we are the sovereign people and our law is the law of the land, and anybody else needs to go back and read their law textbooks from their own country before they come here and tell us what our law is and what it should be.
And the point is, we won't change our own way of thinking anyway, so they might as well stop wasting their time and our time.
Well, they do work with some of us. They're called the indoctrinated blacks, but the real blacks will not be indoctrinated away from what we know to be the right and the principles of our people.
Yeah, you never lose your policies and what you're on about.
I'm not ready to listen to anybody tell me that white people came here and owned everything the instant they put their dirty gammy toes on our shores. I mean, this is crazy, the way this country, the psychosis in this country is all about the racism that's embedded here.
Yeah. We try just to involve people anyway when we do our days on Invasion Day. It's all about, you know, that spreading of the information rather than saying this is our day. We're like, join us, this is everybody's day.
Do you think Scott Morrison's going to say, gee, you know, you little 1.3% of the country have actually swayed the rest of us? God, no. He's going to muck around and say, if you don't be good on that day, the headmaster's going to use the
strap.
Yeah, the strap on you, you know?
Put you in the naughty chair.
I mean, you know, our headmasters you're not even in their league, mate. Go away and learn something before you're going to come back and try and teach.
Yeah. All I remember is on Invasion Day, Dad would be out there with the blue flag around him like a cape, and
he'd be doing his interviews with everyone. What is it? Is they not? We're not marching on Invasion Day, or they're not? What is it?
I'm not too sure this year. What are we doing?
The public holiday is a Monday. I don't know. Somebody more brighter can make them work that one out. But anyway, I call it a victory for our people.
Yeah. Mm. So one last thing, memory of old Gil, Jen, or a message to the mob down here in reference to Gil?
Mm.
Yeah. What is it? What's in your spirit?
Well, what can I say? I mean, the man, you know, he motivated us all in so many different ways. If anyone's ever stuck for some motivation or some principle, go back and listen to some of Gillis' tapes and some of his old recordings. You'll find it real quick.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Art.
Good to hear from you, Jen.
Good to hear from you all. And celebrate him. He really deserves to be celebrated. Let's try and get a statue of Gillis down there somewhere, eh?
If I know Dad, it'd want to be a big one.
Oh, that'd bring him back to life if we do that.
a street or an alleyway or something, you know? Gilla Lane or something.
Yeah, that's how we go.
I'd have to be near the builders, wouldn't it?
Thank you, Art.
No, I love it. I remember the first time I seen Mother and father there, Johnny Mac.
That's going back.
Yeah, that is a long time, yeah.
All right, thanks for your time, Art. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Bye-bye.
Love you. No, my pleasure.
Until we speak to you again. Love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that was bloody Jenny there, sharing her memories, and yeah, she'd have a couple over the years. Like everybody who has joined us on today's show, I'd like to thank you all for coming in. If there's any final memories you want to share that you can think of?
Oh, yes, I think it's such a... doesn't seem long ago, but when he was just a baby even and learning to walk, so I can go all the way back there with his mother, Dot, you know. It's just a joy, just not Gary, but, you know, talking about it today, you know.
Yeah.
There's so many of the young ones that we have had the joy of watching, and you will too, I'm sure. So, but he has been always, his sister died, look, honestly, I don't know how many times she's going to kill him a day. And I'm talking about a day. Not on a week, on a day. So they had a good bonding there. He just threw his hands up and walked away because he couldn't, no one could beat Dot. Period. Cassius Kay couldn't beat Dot.
He started losing fights to my daughter at the end there, but them two were just so much alike too. So. He was lucky to fight himself with those blues. But yeah, in saying that, he
did keep us alive.
He did a lot of things. There's a lot of young people out there who owe a lot to him as well, who were on one path and he helped them move over to another path, to
and,
a better
and
path.
And a lot of people need that help to change.
Yeah.
I think they're stuck in it, you know.
Yeah.
And
they weren't necessarily just people who were going down bad tracks, but just people who were
just
not in the right frame of mind at the time and that, you know, and could have went down the wrong track.
Path,
and other people were people who were going down the wrong track, and he changed their lives around.
He took notice of all those kind of things.
And those and people often come to me even today and say, look, Rose, your dad did so much for me, you know, so... Yeah, even... I'd like to send a special cheerio out to a mate out there who has always known my dad. That's my mate, Brensky. He's known my dad a long time, and his house just burned down. And he lost everything. So, special cheerio out to the brother boy there.
Oh, sorry to hear that, brother.
Hope everything gets back on track for him, because Dad would be the first one there to help him out and stuff. But, I'd like to thank you all for coming in.
No worries.
Getting a bit choked up now.
Lovely to share with you. And, you know, all I love, I mean, the most appreciation, me and Dad just sitting down, you were there, the music and, you know, and he'd always have a laugh at me because I've always been mad on Freddie Fender. And like, oh, not Freddie Fender again.
He always had all the music.
Yeah.
That's something that I have to try and get together again, because people ask me for these different songs, and I'm like, he had them on a special account that he had with JB Hi-Fi, and I can't get into them, sort of. I have to start my own account or something, and then I'll have to learn off everybody what these songs were. But I love you, my uncles and my auntie, and thank you for coming in.
I'd just like to say he's had a lot of good teaching with Johnny Mac, his father and his mother.
Yeah.
So he's had a variety of man's views, women's views, and that's made him where he was too.
Yeah.
You know, having
very
that
true.
Both
well,
visions.
Yeah. It's somewhat symbolic, you know. The name of the show, Precious Memories. And that's what we're doing right now is remembering those precious memories that we had with your father. And and so the irony is that's the name of the show, and did he envisage this down the track? And the irony is the irony is the name of the show actually.
Yeah.
So precious memories of the old brother Gil, you know.
And just wanted to say, Uncle Duck called in too. He was a bit choked up as well, so he couldn't jump on and have a yarn, but he just wanted to send his tribute to Daddy Mac, just make sure
Tash,
he was
Tash also called in, and
Tash was a part of the show, so she was representing for you and Arnie Redak. But he's out there enjoying the show too. He's always been more or less Dad's number one fan, brother boy.
Ronnie Mack himself would miss him. Yeah. They were all good mates.
Yeah. Tried to get on to my big brother, but he mustn't be answering his
number. I think think of is he might have listened in and turned his phone off or something. You know? Maybe he gets a bit.
Yeah.
Every time I speak to him, he's too much memories flood forward for Uncle Arf.
But
we love you, Uncle Arf, if you're out there listening. And
brothers.
We know you would have said something if you could have. And and to everybody else out there who's listening and had their own special memories of Dad, thank you for joining him along his journey. And joining us today as well. And we're going to go out, we're going to play some more of the funeral, because we haven't really played that much of it. I thought we would have. There's an hour and a half of it, and basically we've only played like about 20 minutes of it, and we've had everybody joining in on the show, so that's been good. But yeah, we'll just take out the rest of the last 20 minutes worth of that, so people can sort of get. Because that's what he wanted. He wanted everybody to listen to his funeral.
And for me,
everybody's been sending me a message. Oh, that made me laugh, Rosman. You told us that.
And for me, trying to build precious memories with your families as well. You know, John.
That's what it was about.
Had a special father and a special relationship. I feel blessed for my relationship with John and my family and my in-laws' family. It's just. And all my brothers here that, you know, Kutch and for everybody, this is, what's this, like, nearly 37 years I've lived in Melbourne.
I remember coming to visit you, and your love was a little baby, and I was nursing him.
little Jaron had you on the Christmas
now
last
night. Now Jaron's there.
Trying to get sleepover.
He wants sleepover.
But Johnny Mack, it's not easy to do this today, you know.
It's been hard, but not only that, it's been enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's like... I've had Tash say, like, oh, I've been wanting to come in, you know, but it's hard. And I say, look, cuz, it was hard at first, but I enjoy coming and seeing everything and remembering those memories of Dad, you know, now. It's my connection to him now, sort of thing, you know. And, I just, instead of feeling sad, I just feel all this love in here now.
It's a beautiful thought, Johnny, mate.
You would have seen me back at the start of this year, like last year, I mean. I was...
Devastated,
It's something that'll always be with you, but you got us, and that was the thing with him. He taught you that, you know. You always got your family, and he loved all the little ones and big ones, and when we were battling, he was there for us. We'll always be there for you. So, it's a hard day.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining in and listening. And thank you, Auntie Georgina, for coming. Thank you, Uncle Kutch. Thank you, Uncle Bo.
Thank
you, Uncle Robbie, for joining in earlier. And thanks to the callers, Auntie Jenny, Tash, who else did we have?
Duck.
Uncle Duck.
Didn't speak live, but he was there.
And there was, I think, one or two more, but I can't remember. But sorry about that. But, we're going to go out now with some of Dad's funeral. This is, we're calling it Gillis Funeral Audio. This is the tribute to you, Daddy Mac. Love ya.
Love you, brother.
Streets of Old Fitzroy by Uncle Harry Williams, old brother boy's father-in-law. But today is a... like I was talking to you before, Aunt Johnny, you know. I've been asked to sort of weave a narrative through the service and along with old brother boy Joey Day to try and verbalise not only my connection, but your connection to Brother Gill. And it's because my nephew has asked me to do this. And Johnny Mac just, I went and saw him the other day, and he said, Dad wanted you to do this, Uncle Kutcher. So he gets his way. Typical Gil. And the irony is that typical Gil, day before Australia Day, gets his last say. just the way that he would want it. There's a thing that sticks in my memory, and it's a very strong family orientated memory. We're in Traralgon and we've just buried our mother. Me, Mick, Reg, Alice, Arthur. I can't name all my family. But we've been to the wake at the Central Gippsland Aboriginal Cooperative, and all of Mary's children, we walk in the back door of our mother's place in Cameron Street in Traralgon. And Mum had a chair that only Mum sat in around the kitchen table. And we all walked through, and the beautiful thing was that Gilla walked in the back door with all of us. And who should sit in Mum's seat but Gilla? And we all looked at each other. And it was as if he was home at his place. And that's the standing that Gilla had within our family. And that's unexplainable. You can't. But he felt as if he had the right to sit with his brothers and sisters. And that's Gil to a T. And I'm getting chills down the back of my neck as I'm talking about it. So he's sticking his finger in me side as I'm talking here. But, you know, you start the service at 11, and the place is quarter full. And you wait for 5 minutes, and look how many people are in the room now. And that speaks volumes of a man, a person who has committed his life to giving other people the opportunity to speak through radio. And that's volumes of Gilla. You know, his grandniece sitting here, how old Tash? 5, and got her own radio show on 3CR because of her uncle Gil. Unbelievable. This man, yeah, I'm waffling on, but so my brother is going to lead us through the service, and I'll pop in every now and then, and Johnny will speak about his dad. And, yeah, it's beautiful to see this many people here.
First thing that I'd just like to say on behalf of John and all the family, I want to thank each and everyone for being here today, and just seeing the slideshows behind me that, you know, so many great memories and great families, and look at it, be overwhelmed. And so, you know, just saying to Doreen, the families that, you know, the McGinnis, Lovett and Smith family, but then it's the Austin family, the Norris family, And that family and that external family goes on as Fitzroy. So representative here today, and so on behalf of all those extended families, and particularly Johnny Mack, and we want to thank you for being here today. And we see that Gary was a loving son to John and Dorothy McGinnis, loving father to Johnny Mack, loving grandfather to Lyric, loving uncle, cousin and friend to many, and also a loving brother to Jed and Gary. So once again, we want to thank you today, and we'll just open with prayer and just commit this day before Almighty God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, today. Father, we can come and celebrate a life, celebrate a wonderful life with honour. We want to thank you for that life and the legacy that's impacted so many here today. And Lord, we pray today that, Father, that by your Spirit, that you would continue to bring comfort, not only to the family, but all the family and each of us here today. And Lord, we thank you and always give you the honour and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Part of the service, we have a beautiful song, and it's Rest High on That Mountain by Vince Gill.
Gary John McGinnis Giller. Born 3rd of the 6th, 1959, entered the Dreaming, 9th of the 1st, 2018. Today we say goodbye, or farewell, to a man who can only be described as a legend, a Fitzroy legend. A man who was so many different things to so many different people, yet I think one thing we could all agree is that he was as staunch as they come. He loved his community, and if he counted you among his family and friends, you felt truly blessed. Because there was nothing he wouldn't do to help you if he could. Gary was a man who always committed his time and energy 110% to any project he was working on, and there were many at that. For those who really knew Giller, knew he was a man who could make things happen from seemingly nothing. And I'm talking about all those stories we can't quite mention here today as well. From an early age, Dad always knew what he wanted and how to get it. As I'm told, he used to sneak off across the road from his place there in home in Fitzroy in Gertrude Street. He'd sneak across the road and head over to the police station there, and he would tell them he was lost, only to get the free ice cream and stuff they'd give to him every time. So that became a regular occurrence, I believe. He'd also wander along asking all the shops in the area for specs, which were leftover broken lollies. And Nan would find him often down laneways and stuff, yeah, asking all these shopkeepers, and she'd track him down from shop to shop to find where he was. Dad was born to Dawn Austin, and without going into it, as a baby he was taken into care by Dorothy Lovett, who, as far as she was concerned, he was her son. And as far as Gary was concerned, Dorothy was his mother. Gary's childhood was a reasonably happy one. I'd often see the joy in his face when he'd tell me all the stories of what he used to get up to with Auntie Doreen, Auntie Deanne and Auntie Debbie, Auntie Shelley, Uncle Darren, and all the other cousins he had. But then he met all his blood, growing from his childhood into a young man. Gary met people who he called his brothers and sisters, but it was during this time he's met his brothers he called his blood. Uncle Bindi, Uncle Duck, Uncle Lakes, Uncle Lockie, Uncle Bert, Uncle Sonny Booth, Uncle Arthur, and a few more. If I'm sorry if I can't remember yous all. And I'm sure there's a lot of stories between that lot of names too. It was one day he was sitting in the car with Uncle Bindi that he actually found out that he had sisters. And that's when he met my mother. And 4 years later, they had a son named John. That was me. Gary was so excited to have his son, he actually pushed the doctor aside to deliver me himself. And I believe he partied for a week beforehand and a week afterwards too. As a father, all I can say is he was the best. He's always patient. Always caring. Always understanding. Always fair. But always fun. He was always surprising and supportive too in everything I did. There was many things that I can attribute to my father. The defining moment in Gary's life came when he was about 27, 28 years old. Tragedy struck as Gary was involved in a serious car accident where every bone in his body except his left leg was broken, and the doctors told him that he would never walk or talk again. But this only proved his strength and courage and determination. By not only walking and talking again, but he became an active and much loved and valued member of our community, a game which he loved so much. They were ready for him then, but it just wasn't his time yet. He still had a lot to do. Now, when I say active community member, boy, do I mean active. From bus driver at Yapra to horticulture and landscaping at Ceres, being involved in health programs at VARS, to being head of my school's council, and he was elected in that position despite never attending a single meeting. But he used that position to bring a lot of Koori events and stuff into my school, which we didn't have at the time. And that's when I used to see all the uncles coming rocking up and teaching all the didgeridoo stuff and boomerangs. And to this day, yeah, there was still a white kid who was the best boomerang thrower in the school. But anyway, yeah, he did all that. But not only all that, he was probably on just about every single board of directors of every organisation around Melbourne, just about. Yeah, he did a lot of great work in there, where he was involved in the establishment of a lot of programs, a lot of organisations too, starting up at that time. I remember he was involved even in helping to get the building for Yapra and all that kind of stuff when he was the personal assistant to the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs. But he did all that, but yeah. Most of that's still going today. And with all that he achieved, he still had time to fight the good fight. And where he fought it was always 3CR Community Radio. That was his base, his second home. His lifetime member, long-time radio personality, and a man who always asked the hard questions and tackled any problem in the community. If the cause was true and just, he'd be the first to help. 3CR was always where his heart was, and radio was his passion. Thanks to Uncle Brucey Mack, who was his mentor. Radio also gave him another opportunity, where he was able to help a lot of his nephews and nieces as well. And I know they all miss him just as much as I do. There was one shining light in his life who he loved dearly, and that was his granddaughter, Lyric. She was his world. He would change jobs just to be there with you, sweetie. He worked at Yapra just to be there, be by your side. When he was out at Broadie, he worked out at Broadie TAFE just so he'd come and visit you at lunchtime. And he loved you so much. Through his journeys, Gary met and befriended a lot of people from all walks of life, some of whom I hope share their stories here today. Dad was always saying to me, as long as you stay grassroots and always about community, you can't go wrong. And Gary John McGuinness Giller was grassroots community.
He'd be proud of you. Not he would, I know he is, and he still is, because his spirit is here. And now come the yarns. But we got to remember that we got to get him out to Waroona at before 6 o'clock tonight. Because the gate closes at 6. Auntie George is sitting there, but yeah. And firstly, close family, and well, we're all connected to our brother boy, you know.
Yeah. Hey, you mob. This is Archie Roach, and you're listening to Precious Memories on 3CR.
Well, I wish I had grown with my mother back home.